Welcome to Kelby One-on-One, 10 questions with Moose Peterson. Hi, I'm Scott Bourne, and this week we have another one of the great instructors at Kelby One. Mr. Moose Peterson's been around for a long time. He's an acclaimed wildlife photographer, occasionally shoots aviation. He's a great teacher. I'm sure you've seen him on the network, and we're lucky to have him as a guest. Thanks for joining us this week, Moose.
Well, thanks for having me, Scott. I'm honored to be amongst the group you're talking with.
Yeah, well, we're honored to have you. Moose, you have a long storied career as a wildlife photographer. So my first question today is, what got you interested in wildlife?
You know, it's a great question, and it was just the way life unfolded. My family spent all of its time outdoors, either on the coast or up in the Sierras where I live now. And it was just how life always happened to be. Cameras were always part of everything we did as a family. So it was just a natural break off to basically how I was raised.
Cool. Now, did you study wildlife or animal husbandry, or did you just have an affinity for animals?
As one of my mentors in biology said, I had the Doolittle effect. I just kind of just gravitated to them. Now, photographically, I went to Brooks, did not graduate, and I did take one class way back when at Santa Barbara City College on bird ID, but it was kind of funny. The final, the teacher used my answers to correct everybody else's. So, I was very fortunate that I met some people very early on that were really into behavior and biology, and they just infected me with their passion, and it just set everything on fire.
I love that quote, infected me with passion. Man, that's so important. Moose, how important is passion to being a great photographer?
You know, passion's everything because, you know, I'm coming up on 40 years doing that, and that's only because the passion gets me past all the valleys to get back to the next peak. You know, there are days where you just can't win to save your soul. And the next day, you can't help but do everything correctly, and you just, like, wonder, what did I do right and what did I do wrong? Because it's hard to mimic sometimes.
So you live up near in Mammoth Lakes. How far is that from Mono Lake?
I can be at South Tufa in less than 30 minutes.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I love that place. I've only been there twice, but, man, that's such a great place.
It's an amazing place. It's one place my mom went to as a little girl and water skied back when there were no tufas as we see them today because the water level is so much lower.
Well, of all the wildlife that you photograph, do you have a couple of favorites?
Oh, God, yeah. You know, the current favorite's the one in my lens. I have an affinity for all the critters of the Central Valley, the San Joaquin kid fox, the giant kangaroo rat, antelope squirrel, all those guys I spent so much time with. And then, that moose, I tell you, that four-legged guy, him and me, we just get along.
So you're an Nikon shooter. Have you always been an Nikon shooter?
Well, the very first days, I had a Minolta SRT-202, but that was for maybe 2 years, and then I went into Nikon.
I had one of those Minolta cameras. Weren't they great?
You know, I really did like those, you know, especially in high school. That was the cat's meow.
Did you have the Halliburton case?
Of course.
Oh, man, me too.
Yeah, we're dating ourselves now, but yeah. Oh, yeah, the Halliburton case.
Everybody's listening to this podcast is getting on Google going, what the heck's a Halliburton case?
Yeah, it always amazes me how things come and go in photography, whether it's gear or techniques, yet the actual storytelling, that's the one thing that holds true the entire time since the 1800s.
Yeah, and that's something I noticed in your photography. I've seen a lot of your wildlife photography, and lately I've been sort of enamored of your aviation photography just because it's something I've never been able to try, and it looks so dang cool.
But it is so dang cool.
And you get to see things and go places with this that most of us don't. But one thing I will say is that I see you telling the airplane's story or the story of flight sometimes in your pictures. It's definitely coming through to me that you're a storyteller. I'd like for you to talk a little bit about that, because so many in our audience are kind of stuck in the gear acquisition syndrome stage, and they don't realize that the best thing in their toolkit could be this ability to tell stories like you do.
Well, Scott, you know, you kind of hit it right on the head there. It's, you know, storytelling, you know, photography, to step back a second, is kind of an evolution. You start with the basic, you know, wonderment of this amazing process, and then you want to get better, and then you look at techniques and gear, you start reading. But the actual heart of photography, which is that passion for storytelling, you got to stick around for a long time to get there. And storytelling, you know, it started with what? Paintings and cave walls, mm-hmm. you know, trying to take what is today and share it with tomorrow. And we've gotten to the point now where we can share this moment with the entire world. So it puts even more, to me, emphasis on telling the story. And when it comes to aviation, like you point out, yeah, I work with so many World War II vets, and I have their stories in the back of my head when I see that plane in the viewfinder. So that really influences the story I'm telling is from those folks trying to, you know, get that story out in that single click. And it's a challenge that I relish. I relish it.
Well, it's incredibly important to be able to have the passion, which we've just talked about, and know how to tell the stories. And the gear certainly helps. Do you have a favorite lens that you use or a favorite combo for some of the stuff that you do regularly?
Well, the D5 body on the 800 is that's my baby. That's, you know, I use that majority of the time for things from wildlife to aviation to landscapes. And after that, I have a small bag of gear compared to some of the people I take out shooting. And it's a very select set of tools that it kind of evolves with time. I mean, the 24 to 70 has been there since it first came out. But like the 105-1.4, you know, I've been shooting with a year, and that lens really is taking me back to my real early days where narrow depth of field was such an important part of my shooting. So the tools evolve slowly but surely with the story I want to tell and how I want to tell it.
Well, we're going to wrap up here but with something that I know you've probably heard before, but I think it'd be good to get your opinion out in front of the audience here. We have a lot of people trying to break into wildlife photography, and of course that big lens is expensive. And one of the questions I get, and I'm sure you get it too, is, well, what do you do if you need to get out there with the focal length and you don't have the money for the big lens? Can you get by with a teleconverter, or what do you tell those folks when they're in that situation?
Well, first I like to remind them that Moose Peterson did not start out as Moose Peterson.
You know,
I was just another photographer 40 years ago, right? And I had the same, you know, limitations, if not even more, because back then we had to buy film, and every 36 clicks was $10. So yeah, you can start off with, like I did, a 400 millimeter lens, be it a straight 400 or a 400 millimeter in a zoom. And then you have to learn basic biology. And with basic biology, you get close physically. What I can do with 800 millimeter at 20 feet, you can do the same thing with a 400 millimeter at 10 feet. So you start learning to get close physically and then use those optics to isolate. You can do the exact same thing. But at the same time, as you learn that basic biology, you're learning how to safeguard the welfare of that subject, which to me is still more important than any photograph.
I can't believe that in 10 minutes, Moose, you essentially gave us a class. I'm so grateful for this. This is really good stuff. I hope everybody shares this podcast, because in 10 minutes, Moose just sort of gave you the best of the best of 40 years of experience. And we're all grateful to you for coming on the show, Moose. And I can't wait to find out what's next with you and Kelby One.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for the opportunity. And if nothing else, people need to learn that this photography, be it the chicks, the gear, or more importantly, the stories, is all about sharing.
That's right. Well, listen, we really are glad to have had you here. And we hope you all will tune in next week for another edition of the Kelby One-on-One podcast.